Canto 9, Chapter 10. The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Sri Shuka said, from Katvanga there was Dirgabahu. From him the renowned and dexterous Raghu was born, from whose son Ajya the great king Dasharatha was born. Upon the prayers of the God-conscious souls, the Absolute Truth took birth from his loins in four forms, the Supreme Lord in person, along with three of his expansions. They, appearing as four sons, were known as Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna. O King, you heard again and again the descriptions by many seers and knowers of the truth of his transcendental exploits as the husband of Sita. Obedient to his father, he left the kingdom behind and wandered together with his beloved Sita from forest to forest on his two lotus feet that were as tender as the palm of a hand. This he did in the company of Hanuman and Lakshmana, who took away the pain of his path. He was separated from his sweetheart Sita by Ravana because he had disfigured Shurparnakha, the sister of Ravana. Over the ocean that was afraid of his eyebrows, he raised in anger. A bridge was built to Lanka, the residence of Ravana, after which he, the king of Ayodhya, like a forest fire, destroyed the envious ones. May the mercy be upon us of him who, in sage Vishwamitra's arena of sacrifice, in the presence of Lakshmana, killed the great chiefs of the Rakshasas, who, headed by Maricha, wandered in the dark. It was he who, among all the heroes in the world who were gathered in the hall where Sita would select her husband, took up the mighty bow of Shiva that had to be carried by 300 men. Fastening the string, O King, and bending it, he broke the bow in two, the way a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugar cane. By that victory, he won the divine girl named Sita, who, with her qualities, behavior, age, and limbs, was a perfect match for him, she, the goddess of fortune, who had acquired a position on his chest. On his way home with her, he met and defeated the deep-rooted pride of Bhrigupati, Parashurama, who 3 × 7, thus 21 times, had rid the earth of the seed of the burden of unrighteous rulers. Bowing his head to the command of his father, who in his attachment had made a promise to his wife that Rama had to abandon the kingdom, residence, opulence, his relatives and friends, he with his wife left to live in the forest like a liberated soul. Living there, he, as he wandered around, met with great difficulties. He maimed the body of the sister of the Rakshasa Ravana because she had a by lust spoiled mind. Thereupon he, with his invincible bow and arrows in his hands, had to kill the 14,000 of her many friends headed by Kara, Trishira, and Dushana. O King, when the 10-headed Ravana heard the stories about Sita, it stirred his heart and made him lust after seeing her. The demon Maricha then lured Rama away from their stay in the form of a golden deer that was killed by him with a sharp arrow, just as Shiva killed Daksha. While he and his brother were in the forest, the unprotected daughter of the king of Videha, or Janaka, was kidnapped by the most wicked Rakshasa, like he was a tiger. Rama, then wandering around like a man who, attracted to women, is in distress over being separated from his wife, thus gave an example of where attachment all leads to. After having performed the funeral rites for him who had died for his sake, the eagle Jatayu, he killed Kabanda, a headless monster, and became friends with the leaders of the monkey hordes so that he, informed by them about Sita, could deliver her. He whose feet are worshipped by Brahma and Shiva, but appeared as a normal man, next killed Vali, a wicked brother of Sugriva. Then he, accompanied by the monkey soldiers, proceeded to the shore of the ocean. The god of the ocean, silent with fear because of his angry glance, from which all the crocodiles and sharks were agitated, carried, in assuming a personal form on his head all that was needed to worship him, and said, upon reaching the lotus feet, the following: "We, the dull-minded, are truly not capable, O Supreme One, to know you as the one original person and supreme master of all universes who resides in the core of the heart. For the God-conscious souls are the result of your goodness, the controllers of the people have resulted from your passion, while the rulers of the material elements sprang from your mode of ignorance. But you, O Lord, are the master over all these modes. You may cross my waters as you like. Just conquer that son of Visharava called Ravana, who is like urine to the three worlds, and thus regain your wife, O hero. Build a bridge here, and your fame will spread. In the future, the great kings and heroes from all directions will glorify you for it." After the master of the Raghu dynasty, with all sorts of mountain peaks complete with trees and plants that were transported by hand by the mighty monkeys, had constructed a bridge in the ocean, he, helped by the directions of Vibhishana, a virtuous brother of Ravana, together with the soldiers led by Sugriva, Nila and Hanuman, set foot on the island of Lanka that just before had been set afire by Hanuman's tail. There the houses of pleasure, granaries, treasuries, palace doors and city gates, assembly houses, turrets and even the pigeon houses were taken by force and dismantled by the Vanara monkey leaders, who, just like an elephant herd, turned the squares and crossroads with all their flags and golden water pots on the rooftops into one swirling river. When the master of the Rakshasas saw that, he summoned Nikumba, Kumba, Dumraksha, Durmuka, Surantaka, Narantaka and others to fight, and also called for his son Indrajit, his followers Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally for Kumbhakarna, his mighty brother. All the Rakshasa soldiers, with their heart to defeat swords, lances, bows, barbed missiles and spears, firebrands, javelins and scimitars, lined up in front of him who was surrounded by Sugriva, Lakshmana, Hanuman, Gandamada, Nila, Angada, Riksha, Panasa and others. The commanders of the soldiers of the ruler of the Raghu dynasty, Rama, together hurried forward to fight the enemy followers of Ravana, moving on foot and seated on elephants, chariots and horses, who, condemned by the anger of Mother Sita, were out of luck in the battle. With trees, mountain peaks, clubs and arrows, they were all killed by the monkey warriors led by Angada and others. The Rakshasa leader, seeing that his forces were defeated, thereupon fuming with anger, drove his vehicle towards the brilliantly radiating Rama, who, seated on the shining chariot of Indra that Matali had brought, struck him with the sharpest arrows. Rama said to him, "You scum of the earth, since you, O criminal, like a dog, have kidnapped my helpless wife, I, as time itself, as someone not failing in his heroism, will personally punish you today for that shameless act, you abominable evildoer." Thus rebuking him, he released the arrow he had fixed on his bow, and that arrow pierced his heart like a thunderbolt. Vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, he fell down from his heavenly vehicle. His men then roared, "Alas, what has happened to us?" just like pious people do when they fall down. Thereafter, the many thousands of wives of the demons headed by Mandodari, Ravana's wife, came out of Lanka and lamented upon approaching their dead husbands. Embracing their beloved ones and their friends, who were all killed by Lakshmana's arrows, they beat their breasts and cried pitiably, which to the victors was pleasant to hear. "Oh, alas! Now he has been killed who protected all of us. O Ravana, cause of our cries, to whom must the state of Lanka, bereft of your good self, turn for shelter, now it is defeated by the enemy? O greatest patron, under the spell of lusty desires, you, not knowing the influence of Mother Sita, have arrived at a situation like this. Because of what you did, O glory of the dynasty, We and the state of Lanka are now without a protector. Your body is there as fodder for the vultures, and your soul is destined for hell. Sri Shuka said, Vibhishana, with the approval of the king of Kosala, Rama, performed for the family the funeral rites that for a deceased one have to be observed in order to save him from hell. The Supreme Lord thereupon found his sweetheart Sita back in an Ashoka forest, sitting in his small cottage at the foot of a Shimshapa, Ashoka tree. Sick from being separated from him, she was emaciated. Rama, seeing the poor plight of his sweetheart, was filled with compassion. When she saw her beloved, her lotus-like mouth was overwhelmed with a great joy. The Supreme Lord put Vibhishana in charge of the rule over Lanka's Rakshasas for the duration of a kalpa. He placed Sita on his vehicle, and then himself ascended together with Hanuman and the brothers Lakshmana and Sugriva, the commander, to return to his hometown Ayodhya and conclude the period of the vow that he would stay away for 14 years. To celebrate his uncommon activities, he on his way was showered with a choice of fragrant flowers offered by the higher class, and was joyfully praised by the seer of the absolute truth Brahma and those belonging to him. Lord Ramachandra, the one of great compassion, was very sorry to hear that his brother Bharata was lying down on a kusha mat, had matted locks, ate barley cooked in cow's urine, and had covered himself with tree bark. Bharata, hearing about his arrival, took the two sandals on his head that Rama had left behind on the throne to represent him, and came, accompanied by all citizens, the ministers and the priests, to welcome his eldest brother. Departing from his camp Nandigrama, he was accompanied by songs, the sounds of musical instruments, the constant recitation of mantras performed by Brahmins, by gold-embroidered flags on golden chariots that were pulled by the most beautiful with gold caparisoned horses, and by soldiers in gold-covered armor. Approaching in procession with nicely dressed courtesans and servants, as also with soldiers on foot and everything else that would befit a royal reception, like the wealth of all kinds of jewelry, he fell down at the lotus feet with an ecstatic love that softened the core of his ascetic heart and filled his eyes with tears. Placing the two slippers before his brother, he stood with folded hands and tears in his eyes. He thereupon was embraced by Rama, who, bathing him with the water from his eyes, held him in his arms for a long time. Rama, Lakshmana and Sita, together offered the scholars and the others worthy of worship personally their obeisances and also received these in return from all the citizens. Seeing their lord returning after so many years, the citizens of Kosala waved with their upper garments, offered him garlands and began to dance in great jubilation. The sandals were carried by Bharata. The whisk and luxurious fan were carried by Vibhishana and Sugriva, a white parasol was carried by the son of the wind god Hanuman, and the bow and two quivers were carried by Shatrughna. Sita held the water pot with water from the holy places, Angada held the sword made of gold, and the king of the rikshas, Jambavan, the leader of the bears who also participated in the war, held the shield, O king. Sitting on Kuvera's heavenly chariot, the Pushpaka captured from Ravana, he, the Supreme Lord, devotedly being worshipped by the women and the reciters of king, appeared as brilliant as the moon risen among the planets. After properly being welcomed by his brother, he was festively received in the city of Ayodhya. Upon entering the royal palace, he paid Mother Kaikeyi, his other stepmothers, and his own mother Kausalya, his respects. The spiritual teachers, friends of their age and the youngsters, were all of worship, and their welcome was returned befittingly by Rama, the princess of the Videhas Sita, and Lakshmana. The mothers, reviving like bodies awakening from sleep, while keeping their sons on their lap, wetted them with a continuous flow of tears in letting go of their grief over having been separated for so long. According to the Vidi, the matted locks were shaven off by the family priest Fascista and the elders of the family, after which, with the water of the four oceans and other paraphernalia, a bathing ceremony was performed like it was done for King Indra. Thus, having been fully bathed, nicely dressed, decorated and garlanded, he shone brightly with his brothers and his wife. Pleased with the surrender of his brother, he accepted the throne offered to him, as also the citizens who, serving according to their nature with their status orientations, all deserved his protection for that quality. Rama was therein just like a father, and was by them therefore also accepted as their father. Although this all happened in Treta Yuga, the period became like Satya Yuga because of Rama's presence as the ruling king who, with his full respect of Dharma, made all living beings happy. The forests, the rivers, the hills and the mountains, the lands, the islands, the oceans and the seas offered all the living beings all they could wish for, O best of the Bharatas. During the period that Rama, the Lord in the Beyond, was king, there was no suffering due to oneself, others and nature, no disease, old age, bereavement, distress, lamentation, fear and exhaustion, nor an unwanted death. Having sworn that he would not take another woman, he, as a saintly king, pure in his character and dharma, by his personal dutifulness was an example, in particular, for the householders. Sita, in loving service of her husband, was, because of her good character, always humble and submissive. Being chaste and afraid to make mistakes, she bashfully, with understanding for her husband's position, captivated his mind.